this as his home church, don't you?
Yeah, that's my home as well.
Yeah. And will agree that I've done my fair share of sinning over the years. And I think it's time that I repent and redeem myself. A new year and a new me. On May the 20th, 2016, I was stabbed 10 times and was inches away from losing my life. I was very close to death, and I accepted that I was going to die. But I believe I was saved for a reason. But I'm not sure what that reason is, and I don't understand why yet.
Jamie, that's very powerful. Thank you very much. Stay here.
Good morning. Do you mind if I use the...
Yes, of course you can.
Thank you. Thank you. Being over 50 requires these. Good morning. Picture for a moment a long journey that began in gratitude and transformed into a living, sustained, and very present sense of gratitude. A journey that led me to come to this church on the 14th of January. Now, like all personal journeys, mine was filled with joy and suffering and hope and fear, but a strangely comfortable sense of certainty in the face of disquiet, an ever-present faith in something greater than myself. My spiritual path was set by my parents, who both encouraged a desire to question and discover, engendering a thirst for knowledge and truth. Their example of open-minded and curious inquiry into New Age thinking and practice led me to read not only the Bible, but many other religious texts. But after many years, and despite all of this discovery, I could not resolve my search for religious truth. Perhaps because I was seeking the tangible, seeking certainty, seeking something that was focused on the self, a sense of purpose, of peace, of community, of love. Now, all of these are admirable traits, but without a wholly consuming belief in God, they are meaningless. If everything is by chance, then nothing has purpose. There is no moral standard. We're just futile animal robots created by a stroke of universal luck. If this is true, then there are no grounds for right and wrong. This is, in my view, an empty and destructive way of thinking. The very visible clues that reveal God in nature and in abstracts such as mathematics and science should spark a divine fire in our hearts. This is perhaps best described by Psalm 19, written over 3,000 years ago. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. Of course, I understand now that God's love is not something explained by the scientific method or by rational thinking, but is experienced and accompanied by faith. In my journey, I found myself returning to this collection of books, the Bible, as I found it revealed religious truth that was vacant from other religious thinking. While I had exposure to Christianity as a child, I had no indoctrination into the faith. It was inquiry and evidence that revealed this direction for me. As a result, I decided to join the Quakers, where I found a community of people with a faith based in Christianity that was focused on the lived experience of the example set by Christ and anchored in a belief that there is God in everyone. We would meet every Sunday and sit in silence for an hour, only broken by someone wanting to give ministry, as we call it, expressing their thoughts as they were moved to do so. And now this sat well with me, until what I've now coined my Good Friday. While sitting in quiet and very Quakerly contemplation, before going to bed, a voice spoke to me and told me, "You need to go to church on Sunday." What? But it was accompanied by a swelling but calm impulsion from a force outside of me. As you can imagine, this revelation resulted in a roller coaster of a Saturday as I tried to make sense of this message. On the rare occasions I've heard this voice before, I've known to trust it, and so I attended St. James that Sunday. My visit that day was deeply moving, a moving sense of belonging and being spiritually lifted, and one I will never forget, which culminated in a most extraordinary and transformative moment. As I took communion for the first time in many, many years, that same voice said to me, "Ah, there you are." And I felt as if the hands of a most beautiful being were rested on my shoulders. To be humbled in the presence of the divine in that way has left me yearning and striving towards an existence where one embraces the godly gift of love demonstrated to us through Jesus. In this faith, I have found a belief that I will fall and will be picked up. I will walk in darkness and have a guiding light shone for me. I may act in injurious ways towards my fellow man. And will be offered forgiveness and a better way of truth and love. And it is for the resulting peace and sense of love that fills my soul that I am and will forevermore be grateful.
Such different but also such moving testimonies. So thank you both for being so brave, and thank you for sharing your stories with us. So something question for all of you now. People of God, will you support and up?
I was struck by a particular conversation that lots of adults used to have. They all knew where they were and exactly what they were doing when they heard that President Kennedy had been shot. It was such a remarkable event that it stuck in people's memories. Remarkable events stick with us, and they don't have to be bad. I remember when I met the man who was to become my husband, it was unexpected, and I remember being happy and unsettled both at the same time, because I realised that my life was going to take a different turn. At that point, my world had been turned on its axis. And this is what's happening in our reading. The women have gone to Jesus' tomb, expecting to perform the post-death rituals of the day, and found that Jesus wasn't there. Then they found out that Jesus was very much alive and sending them to tell his disciples what had happened. Their world had just turned on its axis. Why? Why did this happen? What's Easter about? To understand, we must go back to the beginning of humanity. Genesis tells us that God created humans in his own image. God loves us completely. And he wants us to have a full and free relationship with him, each one of us. And to be able to do this, God gave us free will, the freedom to choose. And from then on, humans have been making bad choices. The Old Testament is full of stories of people making bad choices, starting with Adam and Eve here. And the scriptures tell us that when people messed up, they would sacrifice a lamb or another animal as a way of putting things right with God. But then they would mess up again and offer more sacrifices to atone. And then it would all happen again. It carried on like this until God realized that the only way to put things right once and for all was for him to turn the world on its axis. So he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world to live as a human and to die for us. Jesus sacrificed himself for the sins of humanity. And this is why Jesus is often called the Lamb of God. Jesus died to put things right for us all, forever, to turn the world on its axis. And this is what Easter is about. Now, at the time of our reading, at that point in history, only Jesus understood the task that God had given him. So let's take a look at what happened. There were a few different characters involved. We have the Romans occupying Israel. We have the religious leaders. We have the ordinary people. And we have Jesus with his followers, family, and friends. The Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was famously violent. Being a leader like Pilate was a difficult, dangerous, and very precarious job. Caesar executed people he was suspicious of, and Pilate had reason to be worried. He was governing a strategic territory in the Roman Empire that was also volatile with lots of infighting. And Caesar expected Pilate to keep things quiet. The religious leaders, well, they were politically astute. Although they hated the Romans, they played along with them to protect their authority and, importantly, their temple. They were afraid that if there was too much trouble, the Romans would destroy it, which they eventually did, but that's another story. Now, the people wanted to be free from the tyranny of Roman occupation. They were expecting a Messiah, a warrior king, who was going to come along and lead a revolt that would free them. Many of these people had been following Jesus, and on Palm Sunday, they even welcomed him into Jerusalem as their king, their Messiah. People were expecting Jesus to lead them into a fight with the Romans. And when Jesus didn't do this, the people began to grow restless and ready to turn against him. Things came to a head on Friday. That week in Jerusalem, Jesus had been teaching people that they could have a full and free relationship with God themselves. How? Through Jesus, not the priests. Jesus was kind of cutting the priests out of the picture. And the final straw came when Jesus said that if the temple were destroyed, he would rebuild it in 3 days. And this was just too much. The religious leaders decided that Jesus had to die. But they couldn't do it themselves. They didn't have the legal authority. They had to get Pilate to do it for them. So they raised a rabble that threatened the peace, and they pushed Pilate until he sent Jesus to be crucified. Let's just stop here. God sent Jesus to turn our world on its axis. Jesus did this by picking up his cross and walking to his death for the love of those who had condemned him, for the love of the people, for the love of his family, followers, and friends, and for the love of us that we have seen so amply demonstrated this morning. After he had died, Jesus' body was placed in a tomb, sealed and guarded. His family and followers went into hiding. They were grieving, devastated, and in danger of arrest and execution by the Romans. We can only imagine how awful that Saturday must have been for them. Their world had turned on a really frightening axis. But even so, on Sunday morning, there was a job for Jesus' followers to do. His body had to be anointed. All four Gospels cite women, followers of Jesus, going to the tomb to do this. And as they went, they were wondering how on earth they might move that huge stone. But when they got there, it had already been moved, and the tomb was empty. Where was Jesus? Then they began to understand the truth of what had happened. Jesus had risen from the dead on the third day, just as he had said. This is how the Christian church began. People of the time were so transformed by the resurrection that they risked their lives travelling to the ends of the earth to spread the good news. And within just 300 years, the Christian church had grown from a small group of frightened people into the established religion of the Roman Empire. So what are we to do with this here today? Well, we know people are still making bad choices. Our world is racked by war, suffering, climate change, injustice, and more. But Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. And this changes everything. And we can see how. We can see how by looking at things that have happened. Christians John Wesley and William Wilberforce led the successful charge to the abolition of slavery in the name of Jesus. Christians Desmond Tutu and Nelson Mandela established the Truth and Reconciliation Committee that brought so much healing to a battered South Africa. And they did it in the name of Jesus. For the past 75 years, Christian Aid has brought relief to millions in the name of Christ. Then we have Jeremy and Jamie, who here today have renewed their baptismal vows in such an emotional and powerful way, embracing their free and full relationship with God. None of this would have been possible without Christ. Personally, Jesus' death and resurrection have given my life new meaning and new hope. I grew up in a violent household. Jesus was always there. I had to leave home. Jesus led me to a safe place. Jesus helped me to be resilient. He blessed me with a beautiful marriage and a vocation that makes me alive in new ways every day. And for this, I thank him with all that I have. You all have a cross. Please take a moment just to look at it. Hold it. See the words. Hope and love. This is what Jesus gives us. And may God bless us so that we say yes to our full and free relationships with him, one through the sacrificial love of his only Son. And let us keep saying yes to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, today and always. Happy Easter. Amen.
Happy Easter!
Thank you so much, Lucy, for that. We're going to stand and celebrate more again with the band. Now we're going to lead us in a joyful worship song for Easter. See what a morning, so do stand.